Hey everyone, welcome back. Great to be with you. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the podcast. Super psyched this week to bring you a section of a presentation that I did all about deep focus, music, and neuroplasticity. Basically, our ability to get into a beta brainwave state, that's hustle, focus, execute, get stuff done mode. The Achilles heel for all of us on this right now is distraction, which is a common challenge in this era of distraction that we are living in. So this is probably one of the more important episodes that I'm going to post this year because it all leans into the philosophy of defending your attention, protecting your mindset, putting yourself in the best possible position to have the positive impact that you want to have in the world this year. So I hope you get some good ideas out of this. We want to learn how to focus better. We want to leverage the power of music, and we want to change our brains for the better. And that is all what I try to present during this session that I did, and here is a snippet of that presentation. As per usual, if you have any questions, comments, opinions, thoughts, concerns, let me know via social at Dr. Greg Wells or through the contact section of my website, drgregwells.com. That way we can make sure that we are sending you the information that you want to hear about this year and elevate your life. And today is all about elevating your focus, controlling your attention so that you can direct your attention and energy towards what matters to you the most. All right. Please enjoy my conversation and presentation all about deep focus, music, and neuroplasticity. Today is very much about you. Yesterday was about the body. So that was sleep, nutrition, exercise, plus all the other 8 million things we covered. And today is going to shift up into the brain. And we'll talk about three specific things, maybe, about the brain and do our very, very best. So I would like you just to use this time to think through how you think, practice metacognition, give yourself permission to contemplate. Maybe there's a new path forwards. Maybe by adjusting certain things, I might be able to move in the right direction and really give yourself permission to ideate and innovate yourself for the next 70 minutes or so that we'll be together. And I wanted to begin today by just highlighting that a little tiny thought for you. The little tiny thought is that I have one very specific irrational fear. I'm sure that this is how I died in a previous lifetime, actually, and it is drowning, believe it or not. So I'm a swimmer. I spend most of my life in a pool, a lake, an ocean, rivers, paddling, swimming, diving. But for some strange reason, I'm terrified of drowning, which is fascinating, given how where I've spent the majority of my life. And there's this very specific fear of drowning that I have, which is fear of drowning in a cave. I don't know why that exists, but it does, and it's always been there. A couple summers ago, in August, I took my family to go have an adventure, and Stu texts me, and this happened to text me at the same time. He said, "Hey, Greg, what are you up to?" And all I did was I just opened up my map and took a snapshot of the screen and sent it to him. And there was a little blue dot in the middle of the ocean. There was a piece of land sticking out onto my phone GPS screen. And all that it said was Somalia. And I sent that to Stu and I didn't say anything. And I left it for like a month. And then I got back. I was like, I was just on vacation, dude. It's going to be okay. But while we were out in the ocean, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, I had the opportunity one day to put my family, and they were just on the beach and everything was fine. And I was like, I think I can actually go dive into a cave because it just the water was the way that it was and it was perfect. So I went to the ran over to the place where you can go, and I asked the two like top people. I was like, what are my options today? And like, well, we can take you diving to fulfill this fear that you have. Weird, but anyway. And they're like, but here's the deal. You've got to go out. We go out onto the top of a reef, but then you've got to go down through a tunnel, a very thin cave, underneath massive, huge granite boulders, through and around these things. They're like, it's tight. I was like, okay, whatever. But then you get to what's known as the cathedral, and it's a space where everything opens up underwater, and you're just surrounded by what they refer to as the cathedral. And so we go out onto the boat, we move out, we go out there, and I'm just doing everything I can because I love leaning into the things that sketch me out the most, because I find that when I'm training, when I'm pushing myself, when I'm climbing, when I'm up on the mountains, and now when I'm into the ocean,
that is when I find all of the things that I don't love about my psychology, which I can then work on, deconstruct, and then try to build out later. So we get there, we drop in, we swim over this hole, which is probably about the size, maybe about even the size, about half the size of this stage. So I'll go over here. It's this part right here. And we drop in, two guides go, I follow them. And straight away, I look to my left and there is like a 10-foot shark sleeping on the rock right to my left. I'm like, could this be like any worse? We go down and they go underneath this first massive boulder and it is pitch black. I'm like, God! And I follow them down and we go underneath the rocks and we're swimming in and out stuff. And you're just trying to stay as calm as possible because there's only about 3.5 feet of space for you to go through. So with the tank, you're like, your face is on the ground and you're kind of like looking off to the side to see stuff. And eventually you see the light, literally, and you emerge out. And it is just like this most unbelievably stunning place that is just like, I can't even begin to describe the magic of that particular spot. It was just awesome, worth every single second. Now, when I was going down through that space, leaning into fear, managing it the best that I possibly could to come through and have this most unbelievable experience on the other side. The reason why that, I think, popped into my brain this morning as I was trying to figure out what I was going to do today, which may not end up being what I do today, apparently, is that I felt like that was a really good analogy for what a lot of you are going through right now. And I feel that all of you are either at the point where you're like, you can see the hole, you're contemplating going down through the hole, you're looking at the shark, maybe you're in and amongst the boulders, but hopefully what I can do today is help you manage that such that we can all get to that cathedral in whatever shape or form that happens to take for each of us. And for our minds, there are four very specific states in which we can get to, which enable us to navigate the difficulties of our life. The very first state that you can enter into is a state called focused attention, which if we were to put electrodes all over your head and measure your brain activity as you were doing that, it would cycle through about 16 to 30 hertz. You can actually measure this. 16 to 30 hertz is cycles per second. So when you are in focused execution, that is the state that your brain is in. I put you into that state just now by telling you the story of dropping through that hole in the ocean, seeing the shark, going through the fear state of the darkness and the boulders, like I described that to you and you were all staring at me. So I put you into that focused execution state. I put you into beta brainwave mode by sharing that story with you just now. The challenge that we have, I believe, is that that state of deep focus, that state where we are dialed in and our attention and concentration is right where we want it to be, is a very, very, very high-performing state for us. We get more done in less time. Your brain functions optimally. When you're in deep focus, one region of your brain becomes active. Blood flow goes to that one region of your brain to supply it with oxygen and glucose such that you can think, you can draw, you can take the photograph, you can have the conversation, whatever it happens to be. The issue for us right now in our world is that all of you need to focus. You need to concentrate. You need to be able to control and direct your attention to where you want it to go such that your energy follows and you can have the impact that you want to have to ultimately elevate the world. The challenge right now, though, is when it comes to attention and focus, is that we are being constantly and unrelentingly distracted. And so I would love for you to consider your ability, your willingness, your commitment to controlling your attention, defending your attention, which mirrors the first section of what we did yesterday, which was defending your last hour to sleep better. I want you to defend your attention so that you can live better in an era of constant, unrelenting distraction and addiction to distraction. These devices are incredible. We have the entire history of all human knowledge in our pockets at all time. Every song ever made, every movie ever made. I can FaceTime my children anywhere in the world. It's absolutely incredible. But what I want for you is the intentional use of technology, not the compulsive use of technology. If you're looking something up to connect with someone, fabulous. If you're doom scrolling through social at 3 o'clock in the morning, probably not serving you, right? So also consider Johnny Ive, who designed this for Apple, would not allow his children to have one. Pretty powerful message right there. So let's work on that as a fundamental principle in practice to set the stage for the possibility of being able to control your attention and direct it to where it needs to go, where you want it to go, where you want your energy to flow. Simple practice, dinner with your family, dinner with your loved ones. These can't be around. Because even if they are turned over and on the table, they still capture 25 to 30% of your attention. Think about that if you're meeting with a client and you have your phone up, you put it on the table and you turn it over. It really means to the client, like, you're important, but just in case. Get it away. Put it away. Lean into what we need to do. My son is 9 years old. He does not have any video games. Ingrid Wells is 13. She has a phone, but she has no social media. And she sees what social media is doing to her friends, and she hates it. I consider that one of the greatest achievements as a dad, right? It's like, I'm just going to win that for right now. Lean into it and be like, okay, that was fine. Onwards. Next thing that we're going to try to do. So defend your attention relentlessly in an era of constant, unrelenting distraction. This is a practice. This is it's a practice that requires you to put up guardrails, but then also work as much as you possibly can on learning how to allow your attention to go where you want it to go. So I'm going to play you a little piece of music now. It's about 2 to 3 minutes long. And during this time, I would love for you just to sit, stand, just take a moment. And the reason why I'm going to play you this music is what I would love for you to do is just to allow the music to play. Ask you to allow your attention to go to the music. Notice when it wanders away from the music and then bring it back. And we're just going to practice that together. We're going to practice focus. We're going to practice controlling our attention. When I did this with the Olympic team, what we would do is we would put two sources of music up at the same time and ask people to shift their attention from classical to rock or back and forth. I'm just going to put one up for you right now. Let's just lean into this for a minute. And maybe if the guys at the back can just hopefully this comes through. There we go. How awesome are you guys? Anything that you can do to practice capturing your attention, directing it to where you want to go, staring into the eyes of a loved one, listening to a beautiful piece of music, writing, journaling, appreciating art, connecting with the people that matter to you the most, all of that is, I believe, one of the single most important unlocks to elevating our lives in an era of constant unrelenting distraction, and especially an era of tension, stress, and anxiety. By no means do I mean we need to close ourselves out and not recognize the fact that there are injustices in the world that we all in this room can positively impact. But I want your attention to go where you want it to go, not where the algorithm wants it to go. And we practice that by putting up guardrails, turn off all of your notifications, and also practicing capturing and holding your attention through art, music, love, whatever that happens to be. I will pause there. Just talk, wait a moment to see like any questions at all about what we'll call beta brainwave mode. Hustle, focus, execute, concentrate, control your attention in an era of constant unrelenting distraction. Any research on the frequency of sound? Yes. So I played you a very specific frequency that was designed to pull you down into an alpha brainwave state to enable you to, which is where we're going next, actually kind of deliberately to go there. However, the real hack for everyone in the room that's the easiest is that if you want to focus and direct your attention to one thing, let's say have music playing in the background, you want to have music that you are very, very, very familiar with. Music that you have heard 1,000 times before. U2, Joshua Tree. Listen to that album 5,000 times. I can play that in the background as I'm working with no problems whatsoever. Dr. Robin plays movie soundtracks. Any other, like people who have music that helps them to do certain things, whatever that happens to be, it's all good. I am going to show you one slide. I'm scared to show you guys slides, but anyway, we'll try and see if I can get through 3, 4. There's a reason why athletes listen to music right before they compete. It helps them to concentrate. It helps them to focus. Look at Serena Williams, Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt. The great ones do this. If we dig into the science and look at this and unpack it, there are 7 regions of the brain that increase their activity levels when we listen to music. These are the same 7 regions of the brain that downregulate when we're depressed. We can use music to elevate our mood. We can use music to help us concentrate and focus. There's very cool research that shows that music has these 7 effects. That is Ingrid front row at a concert at 8 years old. It was relatively easy to get front row at Bryan Adams. Trust me, she's now into Taylor Swift, and I'm going to have to mortgage my house. But the one that I'm most happy about on this is 3, copathy, which is empathy in 2 directions. And what is most lacking in our world right now? Empathy, the ability to understand other people. So let's listen to some music, right? Let's play some amazing, let's create a soundtrack for our lives. And share that with the people that we love the most. Like, what music do you want to be listening to during your workouts? Have a playlist. What music do you listen to on the way to work? That's going to psych you up. What music are you listening to on the way home from work? Calm you down. What music are you listening to when you're having dinner with your family? So many cool things that we can do here. Yeah, that might be the most complicated question that I've ever received, and it's awesome. So let's just level it up a little bit here and see if I can answer that question. So basically, can your brain change? The answer, of course, is yes. And the answer, how does the brain change? It's called neuroplasticity. You've probably heard of it. There's also bioplasticity, which is a bit easier to understand. So if you go for runs on a regular basis, what happens? The body changes, you get fitter. If you lift weights consistently, what happens? You get stronger. The exact same thing happens in the brain. However, the body and the brain are hyper-adaptable based specifically on the inputs combined with your genetics. So someone lifts weights, it creates molecules, those circulate throughout your body, they hit your DNA, and they trigger the growth of new muscle tissue. You get stronger. 2 people can do the same workout. One of them will maybe respond differently than the other because it's the environment plus your genetics that determines that outcome. Same thing with distance exercise. 2 people go for runs. One person's VO2 max improves faster than the others. The exact same thing happens in the brain. It's just not muscle fibers. It's neurons and cells inside your brain. Everything that we do interacts with the genetics inside your neurons to change the way that they interact with each other and their function themselves based on what you are doing consistently over an extended period of time. If you just imagine this scenario, a full year from now, between now and next year at Epic at this particular moment in time, the 30 minutes before you fall asleep, you either doom scroll through social and check the news, or you read biographies of the greatest people in history. How's your brain in a year? Unrecognizable. if you wake up first thing in the morning, you practice the three W's, wake, water, and walk. And on your walk, you're listening to audiobooks that help you to learn something that's super important for your craft. Does your brain change? And what's that look like over the course of a year? And memory learning is simply the growth of new neurons that make connections to each other. It's hardwired. These are physical structures that change. And that happens when we sleep. You build those new neurons based on your nutrition, and you can spark the growth of new neurons through exercise, nature, meditation, music, art, journaling, all of these practices. You fundamentally change the structure of your brain. That can happen from the instant that you are conceived all the way through till the moment that you die, in a positive or negative way, depending on what you do and, of course, your genetics. So we can't control our genetics. We can control what we do. So to some extent.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I really hope that was helpful. Obviously, it's a little bit of a different format, but super psyched to be able to share that information with you. I hope that it was helpful. If it was, please share this with your community. Please let someone else know about the show. Let someone else know about the episode. Forward it to them. And that helps us tremendously. If you could also leave a review on your podcast platform of choice, whether that's iTunes or Spotify, that also makes a massive difference for us and really helps us out. And of course, if you can follow me on social at Dr. Greg Wells or on LinkedIn / Dr. Greg Wells, that would be tremendously wonderful as well. Ping me with questions. Make sure that this is all about you, and we will continue to build content for you this year that helps you to be healthy, to perform better, and to get to a place where your well-being is exactly where you want it to be. All right, everyone. Thanks again. We'll see you in the next episode really, really soon.